Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hello, everyone. This is Brother Lewis from Radio Redemption and Power and the Brother Lewis Radio Talk Show. And today we don't have Brother Javer with us. He's very due for a vacation. And I'm just very excited that he's taking one, because he really does a lot of work over here. And we're definitely going to miss him, because he's the one that runs the board and pretty much does everything here in this ministry when it has to do with all the different gadgets that we have here. But apart from that, today we have a special lesson for you guys. And it's actually a testimony. You know, I've talked to you guys on many occasions of what it is to be unequally yoked. And the results of being unequally yoked, you know, and a lot of times when we talk about this and you hear about relationships going sour, we usually think about, you know, a man who has abused his wife or something in that type of line. But today we have a gentleman on our show that he's actually the victim of this, and he's going to give his testimony about, you know, what occurred and how he was involved in the ministry and how he was pulled out and how his life really got into a mess. With that said, I want to read a scripture before I put Brother Lewis on the line, and that's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. And it says, "Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteous with unrighteous? And what communion has light with darkness? Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteous and iniquity? Or what common health has light with darkness? Bear not the yoke with unbelievers." Brother Lewis, welcome to Radio Redemption and Power. And brother, you are live.
Thank you, Lewis. I really appreciate you being in Radio Live. Yes, as you have mentioned, I am a victim of domestic violence. You know, I used to serve in the church. I used to be a mentor. I had disciples under me. My life was on the line with God. I was on fire for God, very passionate for him. I actually came from, you know, drug addiction and alcohol and a broken family. And until I met God, you know, God turned my life around. Then at some point, you know, I was really seeking for love, you know, but I did have God's love, and God's love is always there. But I was really seeking for a woman's love. And I got on this dating site, and I met this girl. And within a month later, I got married with her through court. I got married with her. I proposed to her. and it lasted for about 3 years. Now, from her side of the family, you know, I never met her family or anything. You know, I told my family that last minute I'm getting married. And from her side of the family, you know, they come from witchcraft, from voodoo witchcraft. And I don't believe in that. But I didn't care about that because she told me that she was a believer herself. I met her, I married her, I got with her, and we lasted for 3 years, and we have a son together. I have a 1-year-and-5-month-old son right now. But it did not turn out how I wanted it to be. It was not God's plan for me to get married with her. Now, within these 3 years, it was very abusive. When we came into arguments, you know, it was all about kicking me out of the apartment. It got physical violence to the point where she would constantly punch me and kick me, and I never heard her back. You know, God be my witness, I never touched her back. And, you know, I put up with it. I personally think that it was really a soul tie, you know, because, I mean, I put up with it. And, I mean, I'm still traumatized about the situation now that I'm going to get deeper about what I'm going to say right now, you know, but every time that when we had an argument, it turned out violent, whether it's kicking me out, whether it's punching me, whether it's kicking me, it just turned out like that every way. And at some point this year, I believe it was June 25th, was the day, you know, that I got attacked by my wife to the extent where I would not even think that she would actually go that far. Now, she has a lot of brothers and sisters, and they were all my in-laws, and I got along with these people. But what my ex-wife planned to do against me was something that I never thought. It blew my mind. It traumatized me psychologically and physically and emotionally. You know, when I came back home, my wife was, you know, letting me know, hey, you know, I want to make peace with you. I want to talk to you. You know, I want to be in good terms with you. And I said, okay, you know, I'll come back home and, you know, we'll definitely be in good terms. Now, mind you, I did not move out anywhere. I was just outside. We still live in the same apartment. She was gone for 2 days straight. I think she was in her mom's house. I was just outside, you know, just walking around, just thinking about, you know, my marriage and where my life is and where is it going to go? How am I going to be productive in this marriage? And when I came back to my own apartment, I see my wife and I see this long stick with a metal part end to it. And I said, you know, there's no need for violence if we're going to talk to each other. You know, this is all about communication. Let's just talk. We don't have to get physical. You know, there's not many cursing words involved or anything like that. Let's just handle this like adults. You know, there's a lot of problems in that marriage. You know, we only had marriage counseling a very few times, you know, and it would work out for one day or a few days, but then when it comes to an argument again, all hell breaks loose, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. I was always the one, you know, always in prayer, always wanted to pray with her, but most of the time she did not want to pray with me, and it was quite difficult for me. And when I came back home, you know, I saw this big piece of wood that she had next to her, and I said, hey, you know, whatever you plan to do with that, just don't do it. I just beg you, please, just don't do it. You know, just don't hit me with it. There's no need for that. So we came into the conversation. She agreed to let go of that stick. And within like 5 minutes later, she grabs the stick again, and she approaches me violently. She grabs me by the shirt and calls out her brother and her sister out of my own room. And mind you, I did not even know that they were in there. And they jumped me. They attacked me. They attacked me with that stick. They threw punches to my head, and they hit me with a modem device, and I really thought that I was going to be killed, to be honest. I got hit by in the head, and they hit me in my temple, and I ended up with my eye bloodshot, with a black eye, a busted lip. You know, I tried to escape from it, and they even had me on a chokehold, and I thought I was going to die. I don't know what was it that let him go, but the only thing I can think about is God's grace. God's grace is what saved me from that attack. I ran downstairs to an officer who lives right under me, and I explained to the officer exactly what happened. The officers came, and 9-1-3 got arrested. So now, you know, there's a court case going on with the state against my ex-wife and her brother and her sister, and it just went from bad to worse. Now, one thing for sure is that, as I mentioned, is that it was not God's plan for me to get married with her, you know? I did it out of my own heart. I did it out of my own motive. I didn't pray about it. I didn't seek about it. I mean, I prayed for a wife to come into my life, but I thought that this was not the correct way. I think the correct way for me would have been if I waited upon the Lord and met someone at church that God truly has in store for me. Maybe things would have been quite different. But I learned my lesson a very hard way. You know, I came from an abusive relationship. It was very abusive. It got to the point where her own family even attacked me. The same people that I cooked for, that I counseled for, that I spent time with, are the same people that betrayed me. And it hurts me really bad. To this day, it still hurts me really bad. I no longer am with her. I'm actually trying to see my son, but, you know, the state actually has put an order for her not to have any contact with me, because I cannot have any contact with her due to the domestic violence that she committed. I never thought I was going to turn this way. Never. Ever in my life. You know, I thought that we could work it out. I really thought that we can persevere through it, and especially through prayer and fasting. I believe God can change any situation, period. But, you know, it didn't happen this way. And as the Bible says, you know, that when two or more come in agreement as one, that Jesus is there. But I felt like I was the only one coming in agreement with Jesus. I didn't come in agreement with her to resolve this after all. And I believe it's what led to this point, to the point where I was left, to the point where I ended up losing my apartment, losing my car. I got a marriage that basically just broke apart, you know, and I ended up being homeless. And I was out in the street for a few days, and jobless. And I felt hopeless. I felt like a failure. I felt like I was never going to be back to the person how I used to be, even greater. But then I thought wrong about it, because I still kept on holding on to God, and God's grace still saved me, because today I am not homeless. You know, today I look at that situation and I think, you know what? I learned my lesson. I rather wait upon the Lord. I rather not rush it. And that's when an unequally yoked comes in. I was unequally yoked with her. You know, it's to me, what happened was, it was like a trick. It was like a trap that I fell into. And I did not have my eyes open. I was blinded. And I do not regret it, because God has healed me. And I believe in forgiveness, and therefore I forgive them for what they have done against me. And I pray that they forgive me for what I've done against them in any situation. Of course, it's so hurtful, and even to tell my family about the situation, you know, it causes regret, but I don't want to have any regret. And as I mentioned, you know, I definitely learned my lesson from it. It was very tough for me. It was very rough. you know, to try to have a happy family. You're wishing to have a happy, godly family, but it wasn't turning out that way because there's a lot of doors that allow the devil to come in, you know, and it's just not right. It's just not right at all, you know. And for anybody out there, like, if you're going through any domestic violence or, I mean, it's nothing new in this world, you know. All I ask is that, you know, you just run to God. Run to God and let God take control of your will. Because even if it means for you to separate yourself from that person, do it. Because I wouldn't wish anything upon anybody for what I went through. And by God's grace, I'm still alive. I didn't even go to the hospital or nothing like that. By God's grace, I caught a very bad beating. And even from my own wife and from her own family. And her family completely rejects me. And only God knows, and God be my witness, exactly what happened there. You know? All I know is that he brought me peace. And although sometimes when I think about the situation, you know, it still kind of hurts me. And I just continuously say, I forgive him, I forgive him, I forgive him. Because I need to forgive in order for me to be forgiven. You know? And I hope that even if she's listening to this radio right now, that she understands that I forgive her. You know? It's just sad to say it, but sad to say, you know, that, you know, the situation that I gone through, but, you know, for anybody out there, you know, it's let God take the wheel, man. You know, just don't rush it to any relationship. You know, let God take control, you know. That's my best recommendation. You know, I put up with it, you know. When I met her, you know, I was living in her mom's house for like a year straight after getting married. Didn't have any money saved up. We didn't have a wedding ceremony until like 2 years later, maybe. You know, and we actually got married through a church, you know, but I just felt like it was a trap. And even the day that I was going to get married with her, something softly told my heart, do not get married with her. Do not marry her. But I disobeyed that voice. And I believe that there is consequences when you disobey God's voice, you know? And I honestly think that's what put me now to square one. You know, I was working at a great job and I had my own roof until I got with her, and that's when everything started turning around completely. And let me tell you, after 3 years, it led me to destruction. But God still saved me. And God's lifting me up again, and even better than before. I mean, that's really what I have to say right now. It was a very big challenge. It was, you know, a lot of emotional stress, a lot of physical stress. You know, even when I got with her, it was hard for me to keep a job and hard for me to pray, hard for me to fast. You know, I kept my eyes away from God because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And God allowed it because that was my decision. But had that not been my decision, had it been my decision to serve God, maybe my life would be quite different right now as we speak. But I cannot predict the future. I only know that if you keep your eyes to God, God will take you to places that he will bless you, you know? And apparently I disobeyed him. Apparently led me to a domestic violence relationship. It led me to a lot of areas in my life that I'm traumatized about. And as I mentioned, you know, I forgive her. I just completely forgive her. I really do. I just wish that never happened. If you ask me, I wish it never happened. But it happened. And I really thought that there was going to be a lot of hope, a lot of love, and even for us to seek God together. But we struggled so much to do so. And I know because of lack of prayer and you know, it just brings a lot of consequences, really it does, you know, compared to a woman of God that God has in store for you. I mean, I think that's, whatever God has in store for you is always good. It's never bad, you know. But I felt a failure, and I honestly can say to myself right now, I'm turning 28 soon, you know, and I'm still young, you know, and I learned my lesson from it. And at this point of time, I'd rather wait on God to present to me that woman of God that can love me, that will be perfect for me, that equally yoked, not the unequally yoked.
Amen. You know, Brother Lewis, as you were speaking, I was just thinking, you know, when people get in a relationship, in a rush, you know, for whatever reason, I mean, we all made mistakes in some way in our lives. I mean, I've made many mistakes that I regret that I've ever made. But a marriage is a serious, serious commitment, especially before the Lord, you know. And the first thing, you know, when in the natural, you know, when we're going to buy, for an example, a car, we just don't go over there and we don't go out there and just buy whatever car. Usually people go for a test drive. You know, they test the car to make sure that that's the car they want or they need, you know. And when it comes to relationships, you know, we don't jump into relationships just because we like a person or like the appearance of a person. We first need to find out, you know, who they are, how their parents are, and most importantly, do they believe in God? What are their principles? You know, and I think that not only you, Brother Lewis, I mean, I thank God that you're still here and you're still talking. There's people, you know, that have been killed due to sour relationships like these, where, you know, they've been stabbed or shot or who knows what. So it's a very dangerous area to get involved with when you don't know a person, especially when you know you jump into something that quick. It's something that it's very scary, you know. And one of the things that the Lord wants us to do, brothers and sisters, just, you know, to get some of the stuff here out there, you know, God wants people to be married. You know, a man needs to be married to a wife, and we could see that in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 18, where the Bible says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good for a man to be alone." You know, it is not good for a man to be alone. The Bible says that a man should be married. So one of the things that we need to understand, brothers and sisters, is that it is God's will for us to be married, but not to just any woman. You know, he wants us to be married to a godly woman. We also see in the Bible that it is a marriage is not something that, you know, you go to, like most people think, you just go to a courtroom, bam, sign a paper, and that's it. It's a covenant. So now, you know, when you get married, it's actually a covenant between you and your wife, and both of you are to work together. But one of the things that Brother Lewis, and I think this is what happened with your relationship, you were pushing towards God and she was pushing away from God. And what happened was that she pretty much took you, right, out of walking with God. Is that correct?
Yes.
So she didn't want anything to do with God. She didn't pray with you, any of these things.
I mean, she would she would try like a very few times, you know, but the level of fear and the passion and the commitment, it was just not there. It was like one step in heaven, and then you still have your foot back on earth. And then she was like scared to step into heaven all the way. So it was just more like lukewarm, you know, it was more lukewarm, you know, and it just, the passion was not the same passion as how I have for God. You know, it was for me that passion had died out even when I was with her. And yeah, I guess you can say that.
And one of the things that we can see, Brother Lewis, is that when we find, you know, when we allow, the thing that we need to do is allow the Lord to take control of our life. And when we allow the Lord to take control of our lives, that means that God is the one who makes the decision for us. And a lot of times when we want to take control of things, and, you know, is when a lot of these things happen to us. And, you know, God will be the one who will guide us and lead us to the right woman. I mean, I thank God for being married with Ingrid. It's been 30-something years that I've been married to her, and it's been a wonderful life because she's a godly woman. And, you know, even though that when I married her, I wasn't a Christian, but, you know, I did give my life to Christ. And in the time that I didn't walk with Christ, I gave her a hard time. You know, many of the people that listen to this program know that I used to be an alcoholic. And it was a miserable time for her, you know. And that was a point in time, brothers and sisters, that, you know, Ingrid was going to leave me. Because I used to get, not that I was out with women or anything like that, but I used to drink with my friends. And I used to get home and I used to get drunk. And sometimes I used to crawl in the door because that's how drunk I was. There were some times when I didn't know how I made it to my house. There was a time that I made my mother real angry at me because I was drinking and I was caught by the police. And, you know, so you could see that, you know, when you're not, you know, in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and, you know, that everything goes sour. And, you know, for you, Brother Lewis, you know, I am thankful to God that, you know, your life was not taken, because, like I said, there's people that have been severely hurt or dead in a relationship like that, you know. And also, there might be, you know, someone tonight listening to our program, and that they have, you know, either that are going through this situation. And it might not be a man, you know. One of the things that I thank you for, Brother Lewis, is because a lot of the men, they hide these stuff. They don't want to come out, and they don't want to say, you know, that a woman has actually hurt them or mistreated them, because they feel that that's, you know, they feel inferior to go out there and say these things, like if they were inferior. But a lot of the women's, there's women out there that also are afraid to talk and to express, you know, what they're going through, because, you know, they're expressive of retaliation from their husband, or that, you know, just people won't believe them. But, you know, can you please tell the people how you sought help, you know, when you were involved with this? Because a lot of men just want to take it in their own hands. And how could you encourage people, and, you know, to tell them, if you're going through this problem, how could they find, you know, refuge and help, you know, when they're dealing with the situation? Like when you were, you know, things were getting real hot in your home. And how did you go about to solve this problem?
Well, my first, you know, for sure recommendation, you know, is just to surrender to God, you know. And I think when you surrender to God, you know, God will take care of the rest. You know, it doesn't mean, you know, divorce your wife. It doesn't mean, you know, to hurt your wife or anything like that, or even cheat on her. You know, when you surrender to God, God gives you the right guidance. And secondly, reading His Word. when you read his word, it automatically brings peace of mind. The torment, the bitterness, the anguish, you know, it's when you read the word always helps, you know, and you surrender to God, it also helps as well, you know. Maybe you need to be separated from your wife sometimes so you can get right with God, you know. I recommend it. I definitely recommend it. If you know that it's going to get worse and more worse and more worse, surrender to God. Just surrender to Him and give your all to Him. You know, give your burden to Him. You know, just it's not worth it hiding it from families. It's not worth hiding it. I mean, you can never hide it from God, period. You know, it's, you can hide it from family. You can hide it from anybody else, but you cannot hide it from God. And God knows what that will turn out to be. He already knows what your future is. He already knows what your next move is within the next hour. You know, it's unpredictable. The best thing you can do is surrender to God. Read His word, and He will give you the proper guidance. And most importantly, marriage counseling. Don't get any counseling from single people. And don't even tell single people about your situation. Not even to a divorced couple. Because talking to single people, they don't know what marriage is about. Talking to a divorced couple, they already have gone through the process of divorce. They're no longer with their wife. So they're already known as a single person. That falls in that category. But if you get involved into marriage counseling, especially from a church, you know, and help get connected with God, I believe that can definitely help out.
Amen. You know, Brother Lewis, something that's also important, if somebody's living in a relationship where they are beaten and mistreated, the first thing, one of the first things they should do is seek help, perhaps with the police and things like that, because, you know, an abusive relationship like that can result in something very bad. You know, after that, then, you know, you start working with counseling and perhaps, you know, visiting a church or you know, a pastor that will be able to mentor and help you grow spiritually so that you could, you know, remember something. When you get into a marriage, a lot of people really don't realize what a marriage is, right? But it's two different individuals and, you know, that are not alike. And you're trying to live in a household where, you know, you used to live in a certain way when you live with your parents or when you live by yourself, and now you have to share this house with somebody else. And I'll give you an example of me. You know, I'm not the cleanest person in the world, but my wife is. And, you know, at first when we first got married, I mean, she saw things in me that she really didn't like very much. And I didn't understand why she spent so much time cleaning. I mean, I said, you know, I couldn't understand why she was that way. But, you know, a marriage is learning to live with each other and learning to love each other, not based on looks. Because one of the problems that happens, Brother Lewis, and it happens to a lot of young people like you, is that they usually fall in love because the way the person looks. And they are attracted to that person and they feel, well, this is the person that I want to, you know, spend my life with. But, you know, as the years go by and, you know, people change. They don't look the same way. They get a little fatter and their hair falls off like, you know, on certain people. And, you know, so these things, if your relationship with somebody is based on look, easily, you know, that relationship is going to fall apart. So that's why, you know, the Lord is so important. And it's so important for the Lord to be the focal point on any marriage. Because it is not based on looks. It is not based on the things you don't do correctly. It is based on two people working together to become one. And I guess that's what Jesus wants. He wants a man and a woman to come together and become one in Christ. And therefore, you know, I could have my flaws, but for an example, my wife supplements my faults. And there are certain things that, for an example, she couldn't do, like fix a car, for example, that I could do, or change a tire for that matter. So we both help each other out, and that's what makes the marriage complete. And like I said, and we both believe in Christ, so we're bound to, you know. And this is something that is also happening in the world, brother, and the you know, where people just shack up with one another. You know, when somebody shacks up with one another, there is no contract. When you don't like what somebody says to you or the way somebody treats you, you just get up and leave, and that's it. There's nothing else. So, you know, this is not the way that a marriage should be. I mean, you know, you're going to have arguments in a marriage. There's going to be times when you don't agree. You're not going to agree with your mate. But, you know, there's also an order in the Bible. And it talks about that the man is the head of the house. And, you know, and what I mean by that, because a lot of people take this, you know, the wrong way. Well, you know, they say, well, I'm the man and, you know, you're a woman, so you have to do what I'm telling you or else, you know. And it doesn't work that way, because a marriage, you know, is a friendship relationship. It actually a little bit, it is more than a friendship relationship. So God said that the woman is a helper. So the woman, even though that a man has the last word to say, but a woman has the say-so too, to be able to direct the man in certain things. Now, you know, because a lot of men say, well, you know, I'm the man. If you don't like it, this is the way it's going to be. But listen, God gave us a wife so she could give us, you know, their opinion. They could also be able to, you know, instruct us. Listen, I don't think you should do this. You know how many times I would have not gotten in so much trouble if I would have just listened to what my wife was telling me? You know, but a lot of times we, you know, especially the Latin men, because, you know, we grow up that our parents teach us that, you know, the woman belongs, you know, in the kitchen, and the man is the one that goes out there and works and brings the bread and, you know, and all this type of stuff. But when I was, you know, when I grew up, I didn't think that way. You know, I thought, I think that a marriage should be, you know, one working beside the other. I cook, I help my wife, cleaning. I'm the man of the house, but at the same time, I help her with her stuff and she helps me with my stuff. You know, there's times that I don't feel well that she just takes care of me. You know, it's an incredible thing to be involved in a relationship, brothers and sisters. And, you know, this type of relationship where our brother Lewis, you know, experience is a worldly relationship. It's a relationship where, you know, that the woman didn't have any godly principles. Because if she was a praying woman, if she was a woman seeking after God, these things would have never happened. I mean, they would have worked together to take care of the house or whatever they needed to do. But when a woman or a man lift their hands at each other, that's already, you know, loss of respect. And no relationship can work by beating each other up. It doesn't matter if it's a woman or a man, whichever it is. You know, once you lift your hand at the other party, you have already lost respect, and that is something that will lead to destruction in the marriage. Brother Lewis, when you and your wife, you know, finally went through these things, you said that, you know, the police was involved. And now what hurts you the most is not being able to see your son, right? Because what now the state has your son in custody? Is that what it is?
No, the thing is that she has him in custody, but she basically cut off every contact you know, I try to reach out to her mom, and her mom tells me, you know, oh, you deal it with her. It has nothing to do with me. And the only thing I could do is just fight it through the court, because I can't even approach her. You know, I can't even go near her, because that would get me in trouble. And that I could do is, you know, just try to, you know, resolve it through the court, which I'm in the process now of trying to resolve it through the court and see how can I see my son signing an injunction. You know, I have to do it the legal way. I can't do it. I cannot take it in my own matters. But the best thing that I can do, you know, is pray and hope that, you know, God can open this door for me to allow me to father my son at least.
Yeah, this is a serious matter, guys, because, you know, the end result of an unequally yoked relationship or a relationship that's gone sour, brothers and sisters, you know, obviously both parties suffer, but the one that suffers the most is the child, because now the child, you know, it's away from the father. And the father, you know, the Bible says that, you know, the father is the one who has to train the child in the things of the Lord. And imagine that this child now, in between the court hearings and whatever may have you, is being taught, and I don't know who's teaching the child right now, but by a secular person, somebody that doesn't know about the Word of God. And, you know, between one thing and the other, who knows if, you know, what type of the courts will give you to be able to see your son. But, you know, how much of an influence can you be to him when, you know, most of the courts here in the United States favor towards the mother, not the father. And here you are, that you're a man who didn't, you know, fight back. Took the attacks and the abuse, and now they have stripped you of your son. And I don't know how that feels, Brother Lewis, but I know how it feels when you don't have your son around, because, you know, as you well know, my son doesn't live with me anymore. He's already an adult, but every single day of my life, I think about him. I think about him every day. And, you know, so with you, I can imagine. I can imagine how hurt you must be. I can imagine how you must long to see your son. And, you know, guys, this type of, arguments and fights and, you know, disruption in the marriage is terrible. It's terrible because it just doesn't hurt one individual. It hurts the whole family. It hurts, you know, now, you know, if you have the grandmothers can't see them, you know, there's arguments in the family. You know, it's completely disastrous. So, guys, you know, really, I encourage you guys that before you take a step in marriage, make sure that, you know, either this woman or this man is the right one. It's a godly person that has got principles, that, you know the person before you commit to a, you know, to marriage. Don't just, you know, just go by their looks. You know, a lot of people go by, you know, the money they have and the job they have and the car they drive. But, you know, a lot of relationships that I've heard about that have gotten involved in due to people because of their jobs and, you know, their status in life have ended up in divorce. Because, you know, when you don't look the way that that person wants you to look, they'll find somebody else. And, you know, believe it or not, there's ladies out there that will throw themselves at somebody that has money. And the same way, men will too. So, you know, be very careful. Be very careful when you commit yourself to a marriage. And right now, I want to take a few minutes before the show ends to open the lines to see if there's anybody that would like to call in. The phone number is 320-RRAP, 305-320-RRAP. And you could call in, and if you have anything that you would like to add to this program or ask Lewis. And we'll put you on the line and you could ask Lewis any questions. In the meantime, Lewis, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing to get yourself back, you know, with the Lord? I mean, are you seeking a church? Are you, you know, going back to your mentorship, or you haven't really gotten to that stage yet?
Well, I haven't gotten to that stage yet. You know, right now I've just been praying every day and at least reading the Word every day. You know, but I really am going to go back to church. Try to see if I could go under the same mentor that basically knew all my life. You know, and try to get back right back with God. Like right now, that is like my major goal right now, and you know, it's really just one step away. And you know, I'm really like how you could say, like, I'm battling with my flesh. You know, to let go of everything and surrender to God and go back to that first love that I had for God is what I'm really aiming for. And right now it's really, I'm taking it, like, you know, step by step, you know, but I really am trying to get back to God, you know, especially after everything that happened. I lost everything, and yet God is still by my side. You know, the Bible declares that and I will never leave you nor forsaken you. And that is so true. He has never left me. He has never forsaken me. And I need to run back to God. I really do. And I want to seek my... I have passion for Him. I know I have fire for Him. And I know it will never die out, because what has been started will be finished in God's grace. You know, and only His will. And I really need to get back to God. It's really my best bet. I've been reading the Word, you know, planning to go back to church and getting my life back together through God, because I cannot do it in my own strength.
Amen. You know, Brother Lewis, we're a family. You know, when you unite with the church, when you unite with the body of Christ, we're a family. And what we do is that, you know, we support each other. Support each other when, you know, we go through tough times. I mean, the world will turn their backs on their brothers and sisters, but as Christians, God calls us to, you know, help one another and support one another and do what we have to do with a brother. Because the Bible says that whatever you do for your brother, you're doing as to him. So it's important, brothers and sisters, whenever we have a brother or sister that have gone through, you know, anything. It doesn't have to be something as dramatic as what Brother Lewis went through, but, you know, just anything. You're there for them because, you know, they want to know that they're not alone. They want to know that they're not abandoned. And Jesus, like Brother Lewis just mentioned, said He will never abandon us. You know, even when we walk away, He said He will go after the one. You know, and that's one thing that I believe, Brother Lewis, that Jesus did for you. Even though that you turned your back, that you left, you know, at a point you walked away from Christ, He was still there. You know, He let you do what you had to do in order to learn a lesson. And at times, like, you know, and I talk, you know, being a father. At times, you have to let, you know, your son or your daughter, you know, do certain things so that they learn, you know. And once they, because sometimes you tell them. I remember when I was a child, Lewis, and my father used to say, "Listen, don't do this, don't do that." And you know, I'd said to myself, "Listen, what is this old man going to tell me that he's from the 20s? You know, we're in the, you know, 80s now, and he's going to tell me how this and that is supposed to be." But my dad had a lot of knowledge, and when he was telling me, if I would have listened to what my father told me many years ago, I wouldn't have never gotten half of the stuff that I got into. And I guess that God has to do the same thing. You know, He's got to, we're so rebellious at times that He has to say, okay, you know, like the the prodigal son. You know, he said, well, you know, I'm leaving. I'm going to go into the world. I want to taste the world. I want to see what it's like. And then when he found himself in the middle of the street, when, like you did, you know, when he found himself homeless, you know, he turned around and he saw God. And what you're doing is actually the right thing to do, Lewis, that now you're starting to seek the Lord, you know, looking to get back into your church and, you know, looking for your mentor to be able to mentor you. And that's a wonderful thing. And brothers and sisters, I hope that this message today has touched, and perhaps those of you that are going through problems in your marriage, you know, you could relate to this, that, you know, that if you know, you guys don't deal with this situation, if we don't make the right decision, you know, in our lives as far as who we're going to marry, you know, it could cause you, you know, very big problems and headaches, and especially like Lewis, that he right now cannot see his own son. Well, we want to thank you for listening to Radio Redemption and the Brother Lewis Show. Again, I just want to ask you guys to pray for Brother Javer. He is on a vacation, actually. He's in his wedding anniversary this week. So please keep him in prayer as he goes on a trip. And, you know, we love him very much and we definitely need him. It is not the same without him here, that is for sure. So God bless you. Thank you very much, Lewis, for being here. I am very grateful for this. And I just want to thank also all of you guys that listen to Radio Redemption and Power and are part of this ministry. Love you very much, and God bless you.
Amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind. No turn.